Hello and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour, emphasis on the hour, Cake Wolf Happy Hour.
We're talking about
The Grudge 2 from 2006, hour 42 minutes worth your time, in my opinion. This one is directed by a Mr. Takashi Shimizu, and you're probably familiar with him by now because we've been saying his name all the time. Takashi Shimizu, Shimizu Takashi. Mr. Takashi Shimizu, he's been behind the helm of the original Ju-on: The Grudge and the first Grudge American remake. This is the American remake of The Grudge Ju-on 2. We are talking about the Americanized version today. Writers Steven Susko and Takashi Shimizu. Stars Amber Tamblyn, Edison Chen, Ariel Kebble, and some more goodies. We also got Sarah Michelle Gellar returning in this one. Not for too long, though, because, well, though she survives in the first movie, spoilers! Spoiler alert, we're going to be doing a bullshit session once again. Spoilerific. She does kick the bucket right off of a building, landing on her face.
Surprisingly, not at the very, very, very start of the movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they establish a tense sibling relationship first.
Yeah, that's correct.
So, their attention all lies in the fact that Buffy wanted her sister to go to school,
Amber Tamblyn playing as Aubrey, which is Karen's sister, and Karen is played by Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, Karen is now Buffy.
Mm-hmm. And Aubrey is going to Tokyo in order to find Karen because her sick mother says that she needs to find Karen.
Well, she knows there was an accident, mm-hmm. So I think they know where Karen is.
Yeah.
She wants her to bring her home.
Yeah. So she's sent with the task to bring Karen home. Mother loves Karen. Not so big on the Aubrey.
Yeah, it basically comes mm-hmm. down to you had one job.
Yeah.
And her mother's kind of awful.
Yeah, after Karen dies, that's what the mom says to Aubrey, and I think that's pretty bad parenting.
That's paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is after Aubrey's got the curse on her. So what happens is Aubrey goes to a hospital, finds Karen there, finds out that Karen's a little bit loosey-goosey, and, well, not so much, really, but that's how it seems to Aubrey. Karen's actually pretty sound of mind. She's just trying to survive and get the fuck out of this hospital because there is a killer Kyoko on the run in this hospital. Grudge wants Karen dead. Karen wants to burn the house down.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to get out in order to accomplish that. Not working out so well for her. She manages to get onto a rooftop. And this is shortly after Aubrey sees her in the hospital. While on the rooftop, Karen, Kyoko just pulls her off, right? Just pulls her right off the edge. And she falls to her death.
Right while, in front of Aubrey. Mm-hmm,
while Aubrey is talking to a young man who's essentially a reporter. Photographer/reporter. And while
I think it's Eason.
And while this happens and she just splats right in front of her sister talking to reporter dude Eason. So she gets to see that.
Yeah. Fun trip to Japan.
Kicking it off real nice and tight with the
Was she cursed at that moment?
No.
No, okay. I thought you said that she had already been cursed, but you were talking about Karen.
Well, I was talking about when she lets her mom know about Karen's death because it's not for a while.
Right,
she's
right.
Not like immediately after Karen splats, Aubrey doesn't, call her mom and say, hey,
she waits a little.
Bitch is dead, curse splat. No, she waits a while.
Yeah, that's
right. So, yeah, we have her trying to, follow the lead of this dude, Eason, because Karen basically tells Aubrey some cryptic things about a place. And so, of course, Aubrey investigates.
Yeah, she waits until Aubrey's out of the room mm-hmm. to say, don't go in that house.
Right.
Which isn't helpful.
But at the same time, this message that Karen gives to Aubrey that's essentially on Karen's deathbed just kind of, you know, hits home, because when Aubrey does approach the house, Eason is already in there, and she stops for a moment and sort of says to herself, wait, Karen said to me with her last breaths that I should not go into this house, so maybe I shouldn't go into this house. But
and then the house grabs her.
Yep.
Which we is get cheating.
We get a hand of probably Kyoko grabbing Aubrey and just pulling her right in. And right away, I'm thinking, oh boy, this is ridiculous. And no.
Do we know it's Kyoko and not her cursed husband?
We don't know. It's a white hand.
My theory is just that it's her husband doing all this.
It's possible. It is a white hand, and we don't ever see the husband with anything more than his normal skin tone. So
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably Toshio.
I think there's something there.
Come in and play.
I mean, it could be him working through them, yeah. And they're not actually there. They're just like a byproduct of his haunt. Sort of like acting as his extensions to the world in a way, but in a warped way. Mm-hmm. I think we're both onto something there. But anyway, we have her in the house. Now she's got the curse. And much like the other movies, we're not just following one set of storylines. We're following a few. We also have a storyline following a group of young girls two of them are visiting Japan and they're doing school there, and they're with a Japan resident, and two of the girls are popular. They're kind of
bullies,
seemingly preening this young girl who's new, but they're really bullying her, right? They convince her to go into this house, probably to become part of their little clique, and this girl, she goes along with it. They go into the house with her. They tell her the story of the curse, and it's freaky. And they get the girl to go into the crawl space to the attic where Kyoko was stored. Pretty bad news. We get her having the haunt. And now she goes back to Chicago, and she takes the haunt with her. This is showing a bit of an evolution of the haunt, and we get some words of the haunt kind of spreading out from the house, which makes sense why Aubrey was pulled into the house.
Because
its arms are extending. It's getting more powerful.
Now, side note,
mm-hmm.
If there's any teenagers listening,
yeah,
people who want to be your friend will not make you do things that you are uncomfortable doing. Mm-hmm. That is all.
Yeah, sure. I agree with that. But having a teenager agree with that in the situation, that's another story.
No, listen, I'm old now. And yeah, this is
not
my wisdom passing to you.
They're not.
Just be
smart. They're not
listen.
Old like you, and they don't give a shit.
Just listen. Don't go into haunted houses unless it's like a fun park and it's not really haunted.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably go in.
I would not.
But they, I like this about this movie. I think it's a huge strength that they have the curse evolving and having its way with the world around it, that it's sort of stretching its arms and pushing its weight out, because now I feel less safe watching this movie.
Well,
in the first movie, I'm thinking, well, I just don't go into the house. I'm okay, right? No big deal, NBD. But now I'm not even safe if I don't go into the house, because it might stretch out and grab me.
Yeah.
And that's creepy. And if it's being spread to Chicago...
Wait, but this is where I need to interject.
Sure, but just hold on a second. Okay. If it's spreading to Chicago, then its weight gets pushed out from there as well, where the curse originates in Chicago from this new person. And it just kind of creates these little hot spots around, and you never know where you're going to be fucked in the ass. That's creepy.
Right. But this is my interjection.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even know it spread to Chicago
mm-hmm.
until we watched the third shitty movie.
It was a little bit confusing, but...
It was like an apartment building full of Americans.
Right.
But there's these American families mm-hmm. going to school in Japan.
Right.
So I assumed they were their own business, and it was just an apartment complex that catered to American families.
We might have
abroad.
Missed something.
If we missed something, let us know.
We might have missed something. If we didn't, then they could have easily corrected that with some simple title card saying,
Chicago.
You know, now you're in Chicago. Now you're in Tokyo. So what's interesting about this movie as well is we've got this family that is newly introduced. We start the movie off with the family, actually, which is fun because the original American version started off with a suicide, and then we kind of went full circle to find out how that suicide happened. In the second movie, we start the film off with a woman that is tired of her abusive husband, and
or so we think.
She pours hot oil on his head and then brains him with the pan. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of come full circle with that as well, because we got this family that has this woman and this husband in it. They have a young son and about a teenage daughter.
Yeah, it's a teenage.
And what's cool about this is when we're following this family, the husband's super nice. The wife is super nice. And they're just like a loving family, but they're getting changed because of the curse that's near them. And the curse that's near them is a few apartments down from them in this apartment complex. And it's being spawned from the young girl that was coaxed into the house.
Yeah.
So it's spreading out from her bedroom. Yeah. And she's friends with the teenage girl from this family. Mm-hmm. And at one point, the teenage girl from that family goes over to meet Allison. And
I think it was a Halloween thing. She was dressed up like the cheerleader.
Right. And very weird. We've got Allison answering the door. She's always doing something strange. And it's showing that, you know, she's no longer really being herself anymore. She's kind of being taken over by this haunt. She's like chugging down
a quart. Probably a half gallon, actually.
Yeah, a half gallon of milk. And she chugs it right down, and then she spews it back up, and then she chugs it back down, and she's just not even answering this young girl. Very weird.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like the oddities of it. And this young girl who's got the haunt in her, she keeps displaying these strange kind of things going on around her, and her family's trying to help her, but she's really
not
able to be helped. That's cool. I like that the haunt's spreading out somewhere in Chicago in this apartment complex. I feel like they spend enough time with the family there in the apartment complex to make you care about them, so that when the haunt starts hitting them, you're actually worried about them, especially right. The young boy.
Well, worried about them as much as you can be, because you know that the wife is going to pour hot oil on her husband
right,
and brain
right.
him and kill
well,
him.
Well, I mean, you're worried mostly about the kids. and yeah, the young boy, I mean, he's got that very, that young curiosity about him, and he's trying to find out what's going on next door with the family. Even though it's scary, he still wants to know. He's a bit of a private investigator. And I like the
like
whole...
Like every child in every movie ever is.
I like the dynamic there.
Yeah.
I feel like it works well, and it fits right into horror tropes that we can chew on and instantly understand. And that's, I think, important for any movie that's doing a lot of things, to have these moments that are very grounded in staples for horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice for me. Going back to Tokyo, when Aubrey is investigating the situation her sister was in, she starts learning about the curse and Kyoko and all of this jazz. She finds out that she's going to have to talk to the mother of Kyoko, right? She
right.
finds this out because she gets the journal in the house, and her buddy Eason has an interpreter kind of lay out what the journal was all about.
Right, because it's kind of cryptic and occultic,
right.
from what I could mm-hmm. understand. It was kind of...
And right before the journey, when they go to meet the mother of Kyoko, we have the best scene in, I think, all of the Grudge movies, which is Eason's death, when he's in the photo lab, and the dark room, and he's developing some of his film, right?
Yes, this is actually my favorite scene.
Yeah.
It's basically the only scene I really remembered from
mm-hmm.
this movie.
Yeah.
Because this movie and the third, even though the third is awful, blur together in my head for some reason.
I don't know why.
Like, what happened in which, I guess.
Okay, I mean...
I don't know.
I don't know why.
Know
They're so different.
Or why. because the third movie is so bad. And this one really is not that bad.
No, I like it.
But, yeah, I really liked the scene in the dark room.
Yeah, so we have Kyoko. He develops a picture. Kyoko's in it. And
was like a shadow. Mm-hmm. She, like, slowly... So, I did photography in college. And I love the dark room. So, developing photos is like magic because you put it in the developer and mm-hmm. you watch the photo come up. Mm-hmm. And ever since I was little, when my dad would do it for his newspaper job,
right,
I always thought it was magic. Even knowing that it was science, it still feels magical. So I felt like this was pretty realistic. He puts the photo in, he's watching it, and he sees this dark mass just slowly come forward out of his photo. And like, that's pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of like comes out of the water. And this was like the most realistic scene for like, this is how I feel like Kyoko would haunt people.
Yeah.
It's just her eyes. Like mm-hmm. not even the bottom of her nose is out of the water, I don't think. And she's just staring at him.
Yeah, I love it.
For a few seconds. And it's legit creepy because mm-hmm. when you're in a dark room, it's red light. It's dark. You can't really see that well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yeah, that was like the creepiest and coolest looking and most realistic
mm-hmm.
haunt.
Yeah, I love it because they pause on her in the water just staring at him for a while.
Yeah, and he's just kind of staring back.
Well, it's most more so staring at you, the viewer, because it's directly looking at you from the POV.
And, well, for a moment, mm-hmm. but then you get a slide shot and you see what's actually happening.
Well, while it's staring right at you, it like, you know, it comes out and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It gets me and it's a very creepy scene. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Pull back from the scene later on, we actually see all of the pictures that are developed by Eason have Kyoko looking. Like, with her eyes. She's staring. And this is when Aubrey discovers his body.
This was the most genius scene in the whole movie.
Yeah.
The art, I feel like the art direction for how they handled the ghosts in this one was all over the place. And they nailed it for this scene. Uh-huh.
Well, they did a great job, I think, for a lot of the ghost appearances. There was one where the young girl who was with, she was one of the popular kids that was with the young girl, Allison, who was, you know,
mm-hmm.
eventually brought back to Chicago. The young Japanese girl, she gets pulled into a window or a mirror.
Oh, that's right.
And I thought that was really cool because I was expecting them to replay the same kind of shtick from the first movie, because at first she's waiting for her boyfriend to get out of the shower so that she can have sex, and she's on the bed.
Well, she seems surprised that there's a condom though.
Well, she's on the bed and we got the bed sheets kind of bubbling up, and she thinks that it's her boy toy tickling her. She says it's tickling her, and she starts giggling, and then she looks under the cover. She gets kind of creeped out. She hears some sounds and whatnot. She backs up towards the mirror that's at the back of the bed, and Kyoko just kind of reaches out and pulls her into the mirror, and she totally disappears. I think that's great.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. Although I love that boyfriend would be arrested so fast.
I love it when they just pull him into nothingness.
Yeah.
That is my favorite. I like that more than when they scare them to death. I think it's creepier when they're pulling them somewhere that we have no idea where.
Is this because you like Freddy?
Well, I mean,
the nightmare realm,
maybe. But I think it's extra creepy when we don't see the aftermath, when we don't know what's happening. I want to know, but I don't think that we should ever get to know.
because the third movie is terrible and they should stop.
But this one is very good. I really liked it. And when we get to find out why Kyoko is doing what she's doing, it's interesting because... basically, she had an aptitude for the supernatural. She had supernatural abilities.
Well, her mother was a healer and used her.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, she kind of healed too. So she probably had an aptitude for healing, but she was kind of abused.
Yeah. She could sense the evil in others, yeah. in a sense. And her mother was practicing a type of magic to basically harness the evil in people and take it out.
She was an exorcist.
Yeah, she was essentially an exorcist. She'd take out the evil from them, and she would do it with this really long fingernail. it would really come gross. Off onto the fingernail like this ooze. And she would drip it down into her young daughter's mouth and feed her daughter these evil spirits.
Yeah, and her daughter
would convulse. So her daughter wasn't evil to begin with.
Well, and she wasn't even evil as an adult. We see that she's not evil as
right.
an adult.
I mean, it's just hard
that there's so much evil inside her.
Right. It's hard to say that she is truly evil. The fact that she's being fed all of these spirits, I mean, who's to say that any action of hers is not just one of these evil spirits?
Right. Pretty sure that the liver doesn't cleanse that.
Yeah, probably not. But I find that highly interesting.
Or the kidneys.
And what's really cool is Aubrey brings, because she's cursed, she brings the curse with her to the mother of Kyoko. So Kyoko gets a little bit of revenge there, and I think that is deserved, yeah. well yeah. deserved, and far overdue.
I feel like that should have been like, I'm at peace now. Peace, bitch.
No, not because it's like... Yeah, sure, a little bit of Kyoko probably got out some satisfaction there, but there's still all those evil spirits in her.
I guess so.
Yeah, I feel like probably when she died with all of that evil in her, it probably just coalesced into some new thing.
A new curse is born.
Right. Very cool. Like it a lot. I really like how Aubrey gets to experience step by step what happened to Kyoko.
Yeah, we get the background.
It's very cool. It's like she takes a step into the shoes of Kyoko for the day during one of the repetitive haunting moments in that house where Kyoko would probably like have to relive her death. Well, Aubrey's in her shoes at this point, and step by step, she gets to relive it, and she gets to experience the pain firsthand, and you see everything that happens, and it's awful glory, and it's totally terrible, but very creepy and effective. So, yeah, I mean, I love the movie. I think it was a fantastic journey. I like how Allison eventually gets after like all this crazy stuff happens in Chicago. The little boy's the last one around. He kind of has a mental breakdown after seeing the young girl Allison get pulled into her hoodie.
I think the mental breakdown probably came when he found his father murdered.
Yeah.
And that his stepmother did it. And apparently also killed her.
The stepmother killed his sister. Yeah.
But it's confusing because I think we find that out in the third movie. And they say that the stepmother killed the father in front of him too. And that's not what happened.
Third movie doesn't matter right now. We're just talking about the second. But yeah, I mean, he witnesses a lot of death, murder, death, kill.
A lot.
And then he sees Allison get pulled into her own hoodie.
Well, because that's when he realizes he can't
We hear Kyoko's, while Allison's sitting there kind of freaking out, rocking back and forth in the hallway. And the little boy comes over to her and he's like, he's a good guy. He's just checking to see if she's okay. And then you can see through his eyes, Kyoko hanging out in the corner of the hoodie hood. And then she just wraps her hands around Allison's face and pulls her into the hoodie. And she just does this disappearing trick like yep. David Copperfield.
It's like that raccoon yeah. that sees the cotton candy in the puddle and is like, yes, sweet. Oh, my God. Where'd it go?
That's Love what it. Happens. What would you rate this 1 out of 10?
6.5.
6.5?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I like the first one better.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why. Mostly just docking stars because I don't know what it is about the cohesion that I keep getting what happened in the second and third confused.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like the treatment of the ghost was just all over the place. It wasn't consistent. Like, there was that really awesome scene, but then it went back to being kind of hokey looking.
And I liked it.
The Japanese schoolgirl ghosts were, like, blue, like the zombies and what's the Night of the Living Dead? The second one, where they're blue instead of dead-looking.
You're thinking of the third movie again.
That's in the third movie? No, it was the schoolgirls that went into the house. Mm-hmm. Was that in the third movie?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. See, like, this is why I'm giving it a 6.5.
Okay. Well, I remember, like, I love this movie. I give it a 9. I think it's a lot of fun. I feel like you could definitely go right from the first American Grudge to this one. Have a good time. Maybe skip the third movie because it's apparently confusing.
Yeah, just don't watch it.
I don't find it confusing. I can definitely differentiate between the
crap,
two.
It's though. What? But I'm
it's
so
a
confused.
Total switch in the cinematography. We'll save that discussion for another time. All We're right. going to be covering that third movie, so
All
you'll
right.
get
Maybe
to talk about it.
Explain the plot again.
We'll watch
I
it again.
I thought that was while they were in Japan.
We'll just
that
watch
stuff
it again.
Happening.
We'll just watch it again.
I don't want to watch it again. You don't want to watch it again. I mean, I apparently remember it.
Definitely check out the first two American Grudges. And yeah, I think they're fun. So I want to shout out there Mr. Tim from the Horror for Dummies podcast right here on the Padded Room Network. He checked in with us. He said Jason Voorhees, he finds him to be more like a zombie. Which I can see.
Because he's dead.
And he can well, agree dead. With Mr. Frederick Krueger being a ghost. So,
Frederick.
Yeah. So Freddy Krueger could be a ghost in his heart of hearts. And, I mean, maybe we could cover some of his movies if we want.
I don't
he
know.
Did request for us to throw out a Paranormal Activity film to cover one of those. So I'm going to randomly pick one of them and cover that as well
okay.
during
Is
this
that
month.
One that we saw, or did we watch Insidious together on our first
I don't know if you've ever seen Paranormal Activity.
So it was Insidious that we watched.
I don't know if we ever watched
together.
It together. I've seen them, but not with
right.
you.
I'm talking about our very first date where
Insidious.
I went to see... Okay, that's
yeah.
what I was asking.
Yeah.
Because the two seem very
we,
similar in my
yeah,
head also.
We saw one of the Insidious movies.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. Okay, well...
that was... roundabout.
Sorry, Miss Cake Bitch is a bit confused.
I still think that that's in the second movie.
Well, I do remember that they are like just kind of hanging out there, like watching her sort of, but they're not necessarily like, you know, moving around and attacking her or anything. I don't know what
it was
what do
at
you
the school. Like the headmaster was dead too, and
yeah, they're oh, no, you're right. You are right. In the school, when the headmaster is talking to Allison about what happened,
like first it's the missing girl,
yeah.
and then it's her dead friend.
When she's talking to her about the, you know, the friends not being around and whatever, then the headmistress is like, "I don't know what you're talking about. They're right there, sitting with you," and they're
right.
it shows them there.
They were like blue yeah. though, right?
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Let that be on the record. It's recorded.
Yeah.
I'm not losing my mind.
You're not losing your mind. I'm probably losing my mind. But I do remember there being school students, like, walking around in the now I'm confused.
See? They blur together.
No.
They do.
No.
They do a little bit.
No.
Yeah.
No,
the third
they
movie
really don't.
Is really about that one family with the sick. They never really say what the little girl has. Anyways, we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I was mixing the scenes with the young schoolgirls in the original Japanese Ju-on the Grudge.
Right.
Remember how we
right,
have
they're not blue.
Yeah, we have them pale fucking white coming out after that young girl, right? Remember that? She gets pulled into a mirror as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mixed
yep.
that
yep.
scene up.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I was mixing up. I was mixing up the original Japanese
series.
One. I was mixing up the original Japanese one with the American second, and you were mixing up the American second with the American third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they blend together.
Okay.
Even though the third is, like, describably more awful.
Well, what's tough is we did, like, a watch marathon.
Yeah.
And we're recording days after.
Uh-huh.
So...
and...
I think this less so says something about the films that we watch and more so says something about our senility.
No.
Yeah.
I think the third movie was just so bad that my brain can't.
Yeah. I mean,
it just can't.
Yeah. We'll talk about that soon. Tomorrow, we are going to be checking out the Grudge Ju-on 2 Japanese version, comparing that to this one, and we will catch you that time. Love you. See you then.
You said, we'll catch you that time.
Yeah.
See ya.
Get out! Last chance, told ya. Get out! Get out! What you got?
Excuse me now!
Hey, what is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?